Greetings in the wonderful name of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Please turn with me in your Bibles, the book of Luke, chapter 24, and we are going to read from verse 1 all the way to verse 12. Luke, chapter 24. Let us read the word of the Lord together. But on the first day of the week, at the early dawn, they went to the tomb. Taking the spices they had prepared, and they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they went in, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were perplexed about this, behold, two men stood by them in dazzling apparel. And as they were frightened and bowed their faces to the ground, the men said to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and on the third day arise." And they remembered these words and returned from the tomb. They told all these things to the 11 and to the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene and Joanna, and Mary the mother of James, and the other women with them who told these things to the apostles. But these words seemed to them as idle tale, and they did not believe them. But Peter rose and ran to the tomb. Stooping and looking in, he saw the linen clothes by themselves, and he went home, marveling at what had happened. May God bless the reading of his word. Shall we come before him and ask him to be with us, even as we are about to open his word together? Let's pray. Our glorious Heavenly Father, we once again come before your throne of grace. We marvel at your love towards us. We marvel at your grace upon us. We come rejoicing, knowing that the grave is empty. We come rejoicing that the author of life has defeated death, and he alone has been the one who has opened the way for us. We come rejoicing, knowing that our sins have been forgiven, justice has been satisfied, the wrath of God has been appeased in his Son, and he has accepted that sacrifice offered by his one and only Son, Jesus. We come not in the merits of our own, we come in the merits of you, our Lord and our Master, the champion of our salvation. Even as we have sung this morning, it is in the cross our glory is. We boast in nothing else but in the cross. But this morning, we are reminded that it is not only on the cross where you went, but you went to the tomb and death was defeated. Our prayer and our desire is that we will come not only to speak of you and to turn you, and neither to consider you just as another subject to be spoken of. Our desire is that we will love you, for you are not just a topic, you are a person. You did not leave a monument that we may go there and worship, In your infinite grace, you have called us, you ransomed us to yourself, and you have given us your scriptures as a witness of that which you have done. You have left us not as orphans, but you have given us your Holy Spirit as the one who is able to lead and to guide us into all truth. Even this morning, Father, I pray that you give me clarity, simplicity as we open your word together. Excite us not above all else, but we ask that you be glorified. Be glorified through your Son, Father God, as you, through your Holy Spirit, lead and guide us into all truth. It is for the glory of Christ and the gladness and the goodness of this church we ask. May God's people say amen. We come to one of the monumental pieces of our faith. And this, brothers and sisters, is a text of scripture that records for us that which as Christians we held on to. And this account matched the actual account of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it is this account that marks Christianity as distinct from all other religions. This account marks Jesus Christ to be one who is unique above all the other leaders of any other religious group. But you see, as we have this particular truth of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, as fundamental as it is, my fear is that as the Church of Jesus Christ, we have turned this into a topic to discuss and not a truth to be embraced. But also we have come to a place where we talk about this as something that has happened, as a historical fact, but not as a present reality in the lives of many Christians today. Sadly, like most of the Christian doctrines and teachings, we are living in times and in days when the church, and this is so applicable to us being in a theological institution, and listen to what Dr. John MacArthur would note, and he says this, it seems as though the church, we have many in the church who have big brains, but it appears that we have many with a small heart. The church temperature has dropped significantly, he notes. Her steps is laden and is laden, and her spirit is apathetic. Christians today do not appear to be preoccupied with the purposes for which Christ, the Messiah, came for, but it looks as though Christians are preoccupied with making sure that they cover every little area of their lives with things that will comfort them. And when it comes to this reality of this topic of the resurrection, brothers and sisters, here is an account of these women as we find them. We see these women as they come to this graveyard. If it was possible, and I want you to see this, if it was possible, and if Christ was maybe like Muhammad, or if Christ was like Buddha, or if Christ was like Shembe, or if Christ was like your ancestors, Jesus could have, maybe, allowed these women to remain where they went. And maybe even request that the disciples would put a monument there so that they would start a church, if you want to call it. Or analyze what kind of stone was there. Analyze what kind of clothes were in the grave. Analyze as to what is it that was happening at the grave site. That is not the intention why this account is there. This account is here to show us the significance of our faith. This account, even as we are going to see this morning, as we come this morning, we are not coming to this account and looking as to examining so that we are big-headed. But I want you to see the remarkable work of God, even as He chooses to first and foremost show forth himself, but also this resurrection witness to the unlikely. So that you and I would come and we would see as the significance of the resurrection, we understand it, but we also would come to a place and acknowledge that at times God would choose to unfold his great truths to the most unlikely in our midst. Let's first consider the courageous women. We are told in verse 1, but it will be prudent for us to read together from verse 56 of chapter 23, isn't it? Let's read from verse 55. We are told when Luke is finishing that part, he says that the women who had come with him, they are coming with this man, Joseph from Arimathea. We looked at about him last week. They came, and we are told in verse 55, these women from Galilee, they followed him, and they saw the tomb and how his body was laid. They were witnesses of the burial of Christ. And the Bible is telling us there that they returned and they prepared spices and ointment. And we are told in verse number 56 that on the Sabbath day, these women rested according to the commandment. So these are women who have been following very, very attentively, and they were so keen, and they were looking forward to go, and their intentions are so good. They have followed the Lord Jesus Christ. We know who these women are in verse 10. We are told it was Mary Magdalene, chapter 24, verse 10. It was Mary Magdalene, it was Joanna, it was Mary, the mother of James, and the other women with them who told them these things to the apostles. We see who these women are. They have followed so keenly the ministry of Jesus. You can find about Mary Magdalene, you see her in chapter 8, verse 2. We find Joanna, her husband was Herod's steward. Mary, the mother of James, we also find her, the Bible speaks about her in the book of Matthew, chapter 27, verse 56. But these were women who were there following Jesus Christ's teachings. They were in some way the disciples of Jesus. In some way. But at this crucial hour, as it was in the Jewish custom, you remember this man they were following, now battered and bruised, never even had a dignified kind of a funeral where people would come, they would mourn him properly. He had died a shameful death as one accursed of God. You remember that? And Joseph of Arimathea had taken his body and had laid it in the tomb. And we are told, therefore, these courageous women, verse 1, chapter 24, on the first day of the week, at the early dawn, they went to the tomb. Remember this? Luke just commented for us that these women, they returned and they prepared spices and ointment. And he's continuing the same narrative by telling us that these women, they went to the tomb taking those spices that they had prepared. It was not a haphazard task. From the day that the Lord Jesus Christ was laid to the grave, these women began to prepare. They had this anticipation. They were not waiting to see him risen. I want you to know that. In their minds, he has died. In their minds, they are going there. They are expecting to see this man who was pierced in the side. This man who was put with a crown of thorns. This man was thrust on his side with a spear. This man was pierced on his feet. This man who cried, my God, why have you forsaken me? They expected to find this man dead. So they prepared. From that night he was buried. And on that Sunday morning, they took those spices they had prepared. They didn't have some hours in the course of the day to finalize the preparation. Luke here shows us that the preparation that they had begun on that night on which Christ was buried, they finished on that day, because we are told in verse 56 at the end that on the Sabbath day they rested. So they did nothing. And according to the commandment, they obeyed the command and they sat and they did as the commandments were expecting of them. But then the Spirit tells us then, they went and they did not find the body. That's a scandal. With all their tireless, studious preparation, these women would find that the body of Christ is not there. Look at it in this way, brothers and sisters. With all their obedience to the command, these women, upon arrival to this tomb, they found that Jesus' body was not there. So we move from this preparedness of these women to verse 4, to perplexity. Their preparation seems to be vain. Their preparation seems to be void. Their preparation seems to be, it was useless. Let me call it like that. Although they had prepared, although they were so prepared, although they were so keen, and they were so looking forward to find the body of Christ, but their preparation was void. That's what we see in verse 1 to verse 3. But verse 4, we are introduced to these women who are perplexed then. They are perplexed about this. They are shocked. How come then we've prepared? From Friday we have spent all the time preparing so that we would come and serve this one who died. We want to serve him. You see, their efforts, their obedience to the law of Moses, as they have devoted themselves in order that they will just make sure before the sun rises, they go out to find that this body they have been preparing for is not there. Verse 4, then the Bible tells us, while they were perplexed, two men stood by them in dazzling apparel. These were angels who appeared before them. And it's only Luke who records these two. He mentions them. Mark only mentions one. You go to the book of Matthew, you find that Matthew actually, he has his own take as well as to how he records this account. But one thing is evident and one thing is clear here, as these women are about to go into the tomb and they are perplexed, they have not found the body of Jesus. One thing is clear is this. The message that the angel gave to them is this in verse 5. Not only are they perplexed, but we hear, upon seeing these angels dazzling in this white apparel, these women are also frightened. And in reverence, they bow their faces before these men. These are noble women, courageous women for that matter. Early in the morning, these women are seeking the Lord, but they are seeking not the right Lord, they are seeking the dead Lord. I want you guys to take note of that. They are zealous, and they are not zealous because they are seeking the living Lord. They are zealous because they are seeking this dead Lord. And the angel has to remind them, because at this point in time, I want you to know this, guys. By this point in time, and you are going to see this as we continue. I don't know whether it will be this semester or next semester. But as you read the account of Luke, it's evident as you go to the next account, it's evident that the disciples, all of those people who had walked with Jesus Christ, at this particular time, it was as though they were struggling from this amnesia. They had forgotten all that their master had taught them. They were more in tune and inclined to follow tradition more than they were in tune to follow and to be reminded of that which Christ Jesus had taught them. I want you to note that. They were more aware about their own religious zeal more than they were aware about that which the Lord had taught them and He had assured them over and over again. You would expect that at this particular time, they would have a class, a revision time, where they remind one another. Now we pause. Let's remember what He had said. It was as though everything now in their minds was blank. And it was in this moment that the angel then reminds them. Look at verse number 5. And they were frightened. They bowed down their faces. And the men said to them, this is an important question. Why do you seek the living among the dead? An important question to ask even in an African context, right? Why do you seek the living among the dead? Now, we've been going through the book of John as Pastor Glenn has been teaching us. You remember that? And Pastor Glenn told us a few weeks ago, you remember in John chapter 1, in Him, in John chapter 1, we are told, in Him is life. And that life is the light of men. You remember that verse in John chapter 1? John chapter 1, verses 1. Maybe you've forgotten, but the Bible says this. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And the Word was God. All things were made by Him, and without Him nothing was made. John chapter 14, verses 6. Jesus Christ says, and attests to us to say, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. John chapter 11 verse 25, Jesus says, I am the resurrection. I am the life. Now, what the angel now comes and tells these people, these women in particular, to say that why are you seeking for the living among us the dead? We may as well say this. Why are you seeking for life in the midst of death? Why are you seeking for the author of life in the midst of these who are dead? Can you see the irony there? They are prepared so tirelessly, so diligently, but they are coming. They are not seeking for a living Savior. They are seeking for a dead Savior. They are not seeking for the one who is the way, the truth, and the life. They are seeking for the one who was the way, who was the truth, but now is dead. They are not seeking for the one who is the resurrection and the life. They are, at this point in time, they are seeking for their rabbi. The one who was teaching them. And one who taught them everything. Although at this point in time, they had forgotten. And the angel tells them in verse 6, remember how He taught you while He was still in Galilee. And what does the angel do? I want you to see there. Let's finish. This is what the angel does. The angel of the Lord, in this context, preaches to them the gospel. He reminds them of the gospel. Listen to these words. That the Son of Man must be delivered in the hands of sinful men. He must be crucified. On the third day He must arise. And they remembered. I want you to see verse 8. And upon hearing the gospel, yes, they have been following these traditions. Yes, they have been trying to prepare. They have been trying to do things in and of their own power and their own strength. But verse 8 tells me they remembered these words. And upon remembering, they returned from the tomb and they told all these things to the 11. Which things? Everything that has transpired including the gospel message preached to them by the angels. They had forgotten. They walked with Jesus for 3 years, but they had forgotten. Now let me finish by saying this, brothers and sisters, as we are here, as we are studying, as we are applying ourselves into these studies, as we engage ourselves, let's call it a preparation for ministry, right? As we engage ourselves into this time, as we equip ourselves, as Paul would tell us, for the work of ministry. Let me say this, brothers and sisters. It is possible that we can be here preparing, but what we are preparing for is not maybe the Lord who has risen. Or we become so numb and so used to these things. This is the danger that poor David Tripp would call it. The danger of familiarity, where we start treading on holy things. You see, now the Bible becomes a textbook, right? And we are studying it and we're looking at it. Why? So that we can pass an assignment. Where Jesus then becomes just a subject and a topic. He is not a person to be loved. He becomes a subject to be discussed. We start talking about him and we get to know of him, but we don't know him. He becomes this dead savior who is in this book, but he has no bearing as to who he is to us as individuals. There is this requirement and there is this need that even as you read, brothers and sisters, you read, Jerry Bridges will tell you, say you must preach the gospel to yourself. We must remind ourselves and never to become familiar to the Savior. You see, we are, and we are mandated, this is our task, we are mandated to preach Christ. To preach Christ, this is the declaration that Jesus Christ is our central duty. He is the true duty and is the true message. We are not just preaching and proclaiming propositions. We are preaching a person. One who has not left for us a monument like the Muslims would go to Mecca. There's an empty grave there. You know why? Because that's not what he desires. He desires a personal relationship. We are to preach Christ. We are to proclaim the great truths about the profound implications of his glorious person and his finished redemptive work in the place of sinners on the cross of Calvary. We are to make him known as he is the one who sets forth sinners free from their sins. Ours is not a message that we preach about politics. We are not to preach about positive thinking. We are not to preach about ourselves. We are not to preach about what we are, who we are, or what the Lord has done for us. No, we are to preach Christ. And this is what the angel does. And upon reminding them, they remembered. But upon remembering, they don't keep it to themselves, do you see? They return. And what do? Look at verse 9. They told all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. Let me conclude by saying this. Your courage in applying yourself, in preparing for your studies, somewhere in between, the Lord will remind you as you hear the gospel, as you study. May that happen. Maybe you are seeking for a diploma. That's a dead thing. Maybe you are just seeking for a degree. That's a dead thing. Maybe you are seeking for a position in your church. For me, that's a dead thing. Here, we stand. And our desire is to know the Savior. That your courage in wanting to seek Christ, your courage in wanting to get to meet the Lord. Maybe you are trying to meet a wrong Savior. But may that be confronted with the true revelation of God as He reveals Himself to us in His Word. Then may that be that which you will get. Then not only are you going to come in as these courageous women, but we must go out as confident witnesses about the risen Lord. That's what's supposed to happen. We are not here for ourselves. We are here for Christ. And if in any way, shape or form, I'll say like Paul would say in Philippians chapter 3, verse 19. I tell you now, as I've told you before now, even weeping, that many are walking as enemies of the cross. Their God is their bellies. Their end is destruction. But as for us, our citizenship is in heaven. And for me, we are speaking a Savior. And as you come here, brothers and sisters, as we are here, both us, the lecturers, and you who are learning, our goal is one, Christ Jesus. He is our goal. The empty grave, that's our confident witness that He who died now is alive. Death could not hold Him. The grave could not keep Him. He is alive, sitting at the right hand of God the Father, interceding for us. One day He's coming again to take us to be with Him, and every eye will see Him, even those who crucified Him. Then one day we will all stand before Him to give account as to how we lived our lives, whether we spent our lives preparing for vanity or we spent our lives meeting the Savior as is proclaimed in the gospel. Then we speak of Him in whichever way, shape or form. But one thing is sure, is that you will not move away from this great day that is yet to come. Let's bow our heads and we pray. Our Father, we are so thankful. Thankful to realize that we, your people, have been recipients of the gospel. And we understand, O God, even as we are reminded in your word, that we, as your ministers, we do not declare a preposition. We do not declare just a subject to be discussed. We declare a person, a living person, who is the source of all true life. We declare a person in whom is found the hope of glory. We declare a person the only fulfillment of the deepest needs of sinful men. That person is Jesus Christ, the incarnate Son of God, who died, rose again, died to satisfy the wrath of the holy God, died to make sinners such as us to become the righteousness of God, died so that we may boldly stand with Paul and to say, we are ambassadors of Christ. Forgive us of our familiarity. Forgive us of our lethargy. Forgive us of our indifference, even to the gospel of Christ. Awaken our hearts, our desires to see you awaken in your church, that there will be a reformation in our time. That your church will turn back to your word, that will remember the things you have taught us. But we understand that we are carnal men, unable to remember, unless you remind us by your Spirit. So lead and guide us into all truth. Father, we are also thankful for your mercy and your grace upon us as the body of Christ. We are mindful of our dear brother, your servant Benjamin and his wife. Thank you for the safe trip to India. We commend them in your hands, that as the wife undergoes the treatment, God Almighty, may you give the doctors wisdom. Give our brother Benjamin peace that surpasses all understanding. Give the wife perseverance in this crucial time. You are Jehovah Rapha, the God who heals us. We look up to you. May you provide for every need and necessity. that they may have whilst they are in India. May your name be honored among us. Pray for these brothers and sisters of mine as well as they prepare for their exams this end of the semester. May you, by your Holy Spirit, remind them the things that they have learned. Remind them the things that they are applying themselves to. More than anything else, our desire is not just to be informed. Our desire is to be transformed. That the things we are learning, we will not just become dull of hearing, but rather that the things we are learning will conform us to the image of your dear Son, in whose name we ask and we pray. May God's people say amen.